إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we'll continue the sharh of the book Ar-Risala by Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani rahimahullah ta'ala. Still on talaq. The Sheikh says, وَلَا يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ فِي مِلْكِ الْيَمِينِ فِي الْوَطِي. A man should not combine two sisters. في ملك اليمين في الوطي. If the two sisters are right and possessed by the man, he shouldn't combine both of them في الوطي in sex. Somebody who has two slaves, he has the right to sleep with his slaves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, or what your right hand possess. If one has 6, 7, 10 slaves, one has the right to have sex with them. Unlike in the case of the freeborn, you cannot marry more than 4 wives. But with respect to slaves, you have slaves. Even if they are 20, you have the right to have sexual intercourse with them. There is no limitation to the slaves one can have sex with. Not the one who marries a slave now. There is difference between the two. Somebody marries a slave. It's different from somebody has control over slaves. The one who has control over slaves, he can sleep with as many as possible, as long as they are all his slaves. How this is clear? Now, somebody has two slaves, or he has more than that, but two out of these slaves, they are sisters. Can he still apply what has been said, that he can sleep with his slave girls? This is what the Sheikh is referring to here, that it is not permissible. وَلَا يَجْمَعُ, he should not combine فِي الْوَطِئِ in sex. بين الأختين في ملك اليمين, between two sisters who are right and possessed. I hope it is clear. Just like you cannot combine two sisters, You can't combine two sisters, whether they are from the mother or they are from the father or from both of them. As long as they are sisters, you cannot combine them. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. It is haram on you to combine two sisters as wives. It is haram for you to combine two sisters as wives. So if you have two sisters that are also milkul yameen, it is haram for you to combine both of them in sex. Now, the one who has a female slave, if that female slave has a child for that man, that female slave becomes Ummu Walad, mother of a child. She is not just ordinary milkul yameen. She is not ordinary slave. Since she has had a child for the man, her position has been elevated to the level of Ummu Walad. And the ruling of Ummu Walad is that when the man dies, she becomes free. Whether the man sets her free or not, she becomes free. The man cannot even sell her. As long as what? The slave girl has a child for the man. The man cannot sell her. The man cannot give her out. And when the man dies, automatically she becomes free. She becomes freeborn, so to say. She becomes free after the death of the man. But before the death of the man, or before she becomes pregnant and has a child for the man, she is what? Milkul yameen. But what the author is trying to say here is that, yes, you have the right to sleep with the malakat aymanukum, those that your right hand possess, you have the right to sleep with them, regardless of their numbers. But don't try it when they are sisters. Just as you cannot combine two free sisters as wives, you cannot combine two slaves that are also sisters as those that you can have sex with, though they are your milkul yameen. This is what the author is referring to here. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa told us about those that we cannot marry. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ وَخَالَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِ وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ وأمهاتكم اللاتي أرضعنكم وأخواتكم من الرضاعة. To the end of the verse, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وأن تجمعوا بين الأختين. It is also haram on you to combine two sisters as wives. To combine. And that was why Uthman radiallahu anhu married two daughters of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He married Ruqayya and Ummu Kulthum. But did he combine them? Did he combine them? So both of them were not with him at the same time. So when one died, he married the other. But al-jam'u bayna al-ukhtayn, having two sisters, maybe from the father or the mother or from both parents, having them under you at the same time, this is what is haram. You know, in the culture of Yoruba, it is difficult that somebody marries his daughter to you. Maybe when that daughter dies, he now gives you the other one. Huh? That's rare. But what? It's not haram in the Sharia. Huh? It's not haram in the Sharia. What is haram is أن تجمعوا بين الأختين, to have them under you at the same time. Huh?
A sister misbehaves, so to say, or for a genuine reason, she's divorced, or she seeks for khul'u for a genuine reason, for instance, does that prevent her sister from marrying the man? Huh? Why? وَأَنْ تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. These are things that you ought to understand. Before you attack, you have to know what you're attacking. What is wrong is الْجَمْعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ, to have both of them under you at the same time. But marrying the other after the death of the first one, there is nothing wrong with that Islamically. Marrying the other after the divorce or the khulu of the first one, there is nothing wrong with that Islamically. But to do jam'u, this is what? This is haram. Secondly, if you have female slaves, yes, they are your slaves, no limit to the number of the slaves, slave girls, that one can have sex with, as long as all they are your the slaves. But you must not combine al-ukhtayn. And that was why Fayruz al-Daylami radiallahu anhu, as condemned in Sunan Abi Dawood and some other books, he said that when he embraced Islam, كان تحتي امرأتاني أختاني, I had under me two sisters. فقال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم told me, طلق إحداهما, divorce one of them. Divorce one of them. So to them, it is not wrong to marry two sisters at the same time. To them, it's not wrong. But the Sharia prohibits it. وَأَنْ تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. Even if they are slaves, you cannot combine both of them. You can't combine both of them. So Fayruz al-Daylami said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him to divorce one of them. And that's why if somebody embraces Islam, some laws that the person ought to know, we shouldn't say those laws we are going to doctor them or we are going to hide them, so to say. Now we may not talk about them because the person has just come out of kufr to Islam. But that doesn't mean that we should change the law. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have allowed Fayruz al-Daylami to keep the two women, to keep them, so that what he would not he would not go out of Islam because he had just embraced Islam. So for him to not say, because he did not want him to leave Islam, so he won't tell him that you are not supposed to keep these two women. You have to divorce one of them. I know it's difficult for somebody to do that. What you have been enjoying, for somebody does not tell you that because you have embraced Islam, you have to do this, you have to leave this. Just like a Muslimah, a lady who has just embraced Islam and she's under a Christian or a Jewish or a Kafir husband. The rule is that what? She will have to leave. Now we may not say that immediately, but the rule is that what? She can't be under that man. Because no aqdu between a Muslim and a Kafir. No aqdu. It is considered to be what? Zina. But you may not originally say it, because for her to remain in Islam is better than what? Being a kafira. But for us to say we are going to alter the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's okay, she can continue to be under him. Which law is that? Is that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, وَلَا تُنْكِحُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا وَلَا عَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوَ عَدَدَكُمْ. Do not give your daughters to the mushrikun. For you to give your daughter to a slave, a slave, is better than you giving your daughter to the idolater. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the verse by saying, أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. These people are calling to hell. They are calling to hell. But which hikmah, which method are you going to use in presenting it? That's another thing entirely. But this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Fayruz al-Daylami, when he embraced Islam, Messenger of Allah did not say, I don't want to hurt him. Huh? It's Udim, Talik Ihda Umar. Divorce one of them. You can't keep two sisters. So it is wrong, Islamically. Even if they are slaves, despite the fact the Sharia allows you to keep as many slaves as possible, and you can have sex with them, even if there are more than four. But if they are sisters, you cannot have sex with both of them. You have to, you have to spare one. If you have sex with this, you won't have sex with this. How this is clear. Now we say slave girls, not housemaids. Housemaids, they are what? Employees. You employ them and you have to treat them well. Huh? Though it's not even advisable that you employ women or you employ girls to be watched, to be working with you in your houses. And that's why a lot of houses are destroyed as a result of this type of a thing. When you bring in a house girl and something happens between her and your husband or between her and you, so because that person is not your mahram, she's not your mahram, and you are not a mahram, you employ her. And both of you must not be in seclusion. You shouldn't be in seclusion. Because she's not your mahram, you are not a mahram. This is very, very important. So a lot of people, they are doing things that are wrong when they employ ladies, they employ girls as housewives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids this on the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Messenger of Allah said, لَا يَقْلُوَنَّ رَجُلٌ بِإِمْرَاتٍ إِلَّا كَانَ ثَالِثَ أُمَى الشَّيْطَانِ. A man who been affiliation with a woman that is not lawful to him, nor is she one of the maharim, except that the third party is shaitan. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Avoid entering upon women. He said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الْأَمْوَى. What about the in-law? What about I am an in-law to the woman? Said Alam wal Mawj. That is death. That is, let's say, the brother to the husband or something like that. Unlike the father of the husband. Unlike the father of the husband. So he is a mahram, and she is also his mahram. So don't let us mix them up. Housemaids are not slaves. So somebody may misinterpret this that, okay, he has about five or six or seven housemaids. That is what? Of Mama Lakat Aymanukum. They are not Mama Lakat Aymanukum. These are Ajirat, they are employees. And you treat them well. So the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى says, ولا يجمع بين الأختين. He should not combine two sisters في ملك اليمين possession. That is, even if they are right and possessed. Till what? This is with respect to sex. Both of them can be what? They can be slaves under it. But you can only have he can have sex with one. فَإِنْ شَاءَ وَتْ الْأُخْرَى. If he wants to have sex with the other, فَلْيُحَرِّمْ عَلَيْهِ فَرْجَ الْأُولَى. He should make the private part of the first one haram on himself. ببيعين by selling a by selling a. You know what is established as a more or the most correct opinion is that when you have a milkul yameen, a slave girl, and that slave girl you have had sex with her and she has had a child for you, you can no longer sell her. Exactly? Because of that child. Even if the child dies, you can no longer sell her. And when you die, she's free. She's no more Anna. She's no more a slave. But if she has not had child for you, you can have sex with her. She has a sister with her, both of them under you. If you decide to have sex with the sister, which means you have to part with the other one, either by selling our kitaba or by kitaba. What is kitaba? Kitaba is for you to enable a slave to buy him or herself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ يَبْتَغُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ فَكَاتِبُوهُمْ إِنْ عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا. Those among your slaves who are interested in freeing themselves, Allah say, كَاتِبُوهُمْ, treat them as مُكَاتَبُونَ, that is, allow them to free themselves, collect what they have from them, huh? Let them free themselves by paying you. In عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا, if you see any goodness in them, that if they are free, they are going to be useful to Islam. They are going to be useful to the people. But إِنْ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا, if you don't see any goodness in them, then it is good for you not to do مُكَاتَبَة of them. So kitaba is for a slave to buy himself or herself. The way Barira, you know the case of Barira? The way Barira did, she bought herself from her masters, that she will be paying gradually for a period of 9 years. And Aisha radiallahu anha assisted her in paying at once. Are it clean or by setting her free, what should be he or things that are related to that, mimma taharumu bi, with what it can become haram, maybe gift. Huh? Hibatu tabarru, that is the donation or ordinary gift, not hibatul jar. Sawab. Can we still recollect Hibatu Sawab? What is Hibatu Sawab? Hibatu Sawab. What do they call Hibatu Sawab? We have two types of gifts. We have Hibatu Sawab and Hibatu Tabarru. Hibatu Sawab is the gift that you give to somebody, but you are expecting him to pay you back. This is called Hibatul Sawab. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't do that, but it is permissible to do. Just as the women, you know, when they are doing a ceremony or something like that, so this will give, this will give. This will give. And when she's also doing, that one will also reciprocate. The one that gives now, she's given majorly, so that what? She will also be given when she's doing. This type of gift is called what? Hibatu as-sawab. Then the other one is Hibatu at-tabarru. The one that you are giving and you are not expecting anything from that person is a donation. But the one that is hibatul sawab, that you're expecting something from somebody, This is like transaction. They just call it hiba, gift. It's like what? Buying and selling. And that's why scholars will tell you, you should not bring in money matter. You shouldn't bring in money matter. So I'm giving you 2,000 naira when you are doing something. But my intention is that when I'm doing something, you should also give me back. That becomes what? Riba. Because your intention is that he should give you money back as you're giving him what? Money now. So if he's going to give you money back, you know, we have talked about money when we were talking about transaction. It should be what? Mithlan bi mithlin, yadan bi yadin. Now you are given and your intention is that you want him to give you back money that you are giving him. So if he gives you back money, that will be what? Riba. But if he gives you something else, no harm. It is permissible. Is this clear? So, like hiba to sawab. وَمَنْ وَطِيَ أَمَةً, whoever has sex with a slave girl, he milking through possession. لَمْ تَحِلَّ لَهُ أُمُّهَا, it is not permissible for him to have sex with the mother. Oh, maybe the mother is also a slave. Maybe the mother is also a slave. Maybe in the work front, the mother was held as a captive. The daughter was also held as a captive. And both of them, maybe they are, when they are being shared, they fall under your own watch, share of the booties of war. You have a daughter and you have a mother. The general ruling is that what you can have sex with your right hand possess. We have said that what you cannot have sex with a slave girl and a sister. Just as you cannot have sex, you can marry a girl and a sister. We are going to say the same thing concerning the mother. You cannot marry the mother of your wife. وَهُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ, the mother of your wife, as Allah said in the Quran. Your right hand possess, you want to have sex with her, yes, you are free. But if the mother is also right hand possess, can you have sex with the mother? No. You treat her the way you treat the freeborn. وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ, so she's like what? Your imra, she's like your wife now. So you can't watch, have sex with the mother as well. Is it clear? So the Sheikh says, وَمَنْ وَطِيَ أَمَةً بِمِلْكِينَ, whoever has sex with a slave girl, بِمِلْكِينَ, through possession, لَمْ تَحِلَّ لَهُ أُمُّهَا, the mother is not allowed for him. وَلَبْنَتُهَا, nor the daughter of that slave girl. Nor the daughter of that slave girl. It's not permissible to do that. I hope it is clear. You cannot marry the daughter of your wife, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. وَتَحْرُمُ عَلَىٰ آبَائِهِ, then that slave girl becomes haram on the father of the master. وَأَبْنَائِهِ, and the sons of the master. كَتَحْرِيمِ النِّكَاح, just like that of nikah. That is, you go back to the verse, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ وَخَالَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِ وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمْ اللَّاتِي أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ, وأخواتكم من الرضاعة وأخواتكم من الرضاعة وأمهات نسائكم وأمهات نسائكم ورباحبكم اللاتي في أجوركم من نسائكم اللاتي دخلتم بهن وإن لم تكونوا دخلتم بهن فلا جنى عليكم وحلائل أبنائكم وأن تجمعوا الذين من أصلابكم وأن تجمعوا بين الأختين إلا ما قد سلف إن الله كان غفورا رحيما لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى سيد والمصنات then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what's the end of the verse wal muhsanat min al nisaa illa ma malakat aymanukum an tabtaghu la before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says uhilla lakum ma wara'a dhalikum then it is halal for you ma wara'a dhalikum anything other than this antabtaghu bi amwalikum that you look with your wealth so these verses they are clear signs of those who are muharramat then you read the hadith la yujma'u bayna al-mar'a wa ammatiha and what wa khalatiha you don't marry a girl with the aunt, whether paternal or maternal. We don't marry them at the same time. But if the aunt is divorced, she can be married, or the aunt dies, she can be married. But in the case of the mother, never. Never. I hope it's clear. If one does aqd with the girl, then you can marry the mother. But if you do aqd with the mother, you can marry. That is if you have no access with the mother. So go through the verses of the Quran very well. To you know what things are haram and things that are not haram. There are so many things that we use our culture to declare haram, but they are not haram. But it's because we do not have understanding of the deen. People have different cultures. The culture of Fayrouz al-Daylami is one culture that they will marry what? Two sisters together, that's their own culture. There is nothing you can say that will make them say it all is wrong. And that's why it is funny. Those who are talking about what's it called? This relative moralism. Or moral relativism, so to say. That is morality. What you can call morals are relative. Morals are what? Relative. What you consider as moral in your own culture, to some people is what? Is immoral. You know this insect or so? We know it. This is for you to marry somebody who is a very close relation, like a sister and a brother having sex together. One of the scientists, one of the physicists, so to say, I think Lawrence Cross or what, said there is nothing wrong in that. There's nothing wrong in a brother sleeping with his sister, as long as both of them enjoy it. So even if it is not immoral, there's nothing wrong with that. Why some people will go against it? In the West, for instance, in many places, they believe in this homosexuality. Some of them even go to the essence of what? Promoting bestiality. You having sex with animals. They don't see it as something wrong. So there must be a standard for what is called morality, but must be a general standard. If to some people abortion, there is nothing wrong with it. A girl of 12, if she slept with, as long as what it is out of her consent, nothing wrong with that. So what are we going to use as standard? The same people that are saying morality is relative, you see them condemning other people's culture, and you say what? You say morality is what? Is relative. You should understand and accept other people's watch. So if I say, for instance, in our own country, for instance, let's say in Saudi Arabia, they say a woman covers herself, she doesn't expose any part of her body. If that is their own culture, and that is what they consider morality as far as they are concerned, then those who are champions of this moral relativism, they should watch. They should accept, but they won't accept, they will be attacking them. They will be attacking them. So which means they are not good sincere as far as what their concept is concerned. You say you are moral relativist and you are what? Going against that. But the blunt truth is that what we say is moral relativism, there is nothing like that. Absolutely. Huh? Yes, it's in your culture there are some things that you welcome, but your creator must put down what is called what? The moral standards. What are we going to use to measure moral? Is what is put down by your creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you see these people, they are attacking the books of Allah, attacking the Bible, attacking everything. They want a new way for themselves. They want to determine what to be moral. Huh? So they come up with this moral relativism, and you see them, they are also what? Acting contrary to that. They're acting contrary to that. So don't be surprised. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows some things, don't feel inferior. Don't feel inferior. Huh? This, when you are talking about things like this, you can see the continence of some brothers. That's why Islam is talking about this. Now, if you see why Islam talking about this, we have something that is worse. Huh? If you want to say this is bad, what is worse than this? Worse in some cultures. But how can you say the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bad? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أُقْمَنْ يَقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ. So the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a standard. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الْكَافِرُونَ. فولا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في انفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. So you have to submit yourself to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not restricted to you observing salah, you fasting, performing hajj, umrah. Then when it comes to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you criticize, you knock. And see what? You are knocking a man-made law. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, والطلاق بيد العبد دون سيد. If a slave man gets married, he's the one that has the right to divorce his wife. Don't forget, we have said something before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discourages us from marrying a slave girl, through of us. It discourages us. Unless if you do not have alternative. Because when you marry a slave girl, if she has a child, that child goes to the master. Now a slave boy that marries, where does the child go? To the master. If he marries a slave girl, where does the child go? Master of whom? Of the girl. If he marries a free lady, where does the child go? master of the man. Is it clear? The Sheikh says, وَالطَّلَاقُ بِيَدِ الْعَبْدِ. The issue of divorce. If a servant, a slave, wants to divorce, he is the one that has the right to divorce, not the master. Because of the statement of Messenger of Allah, At-talaqu liman akhadha bis-saaq. The talaq, the right to divorce, lies with the one that holds the leg. The right to divorce lies with the one that holds the leg. Huh? That is the husband. So a master won't say, you are my slave. So this lady or this girl, you are divorcing her, and you have to obey me. No. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-talaqu liman akhadha bis-saaq. He said this when some people were trying to force their slaves to divorce their wives. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-talaqu liman akhadha bis-saaq. Wa la talaqa li-sabiyyin. A small boy that has not reached the age of puberty does not divorce. Can a small boy get married? Huh? A small boy, can he get married? A small boy that has not reached the age of puberty, can he get married? The father can what? Seek the hand of a lady in marriage for him. No hand. Can he divorce? No, the father can divorce on his behalf, because he can't marry, he has not reached the age of marriage, and he cannot divorce by himself. But the father can marry on his behalf, and the father can what? Divorce on his behalf. وَالْمُمَلَّكَةُ وَالْمُخَيَّرَةُ لَهُمَا أَنْ يَقْضِيَا مَا دَامَتَا فِي الْمَجْلِسِ. He said, الْمُمَلَّكَةُ, a lady that is given the right to divorce herself. Now at times, there will be a kind of quarrel in the house between the man and his wife. And the woman will maybe disturbing the man. And the man will say, okay, I'm not going to utter divorce, but I've given you the right that you can divorce on my behalf. Does it hold? A man tells his wife that Malaktuki Nasak. Huh? I have given you right over yourself, that if you want to go, you can decide to go. But I'm not going to pronounce. So if the woman said, I divorce myself, huh? On your behalf, does it go? It goes. It goes. She's called what? Mumallaka. Huh? The man has given her the right to do that. Can a man divorce on behalf of another man? If it's a wakil, somebody says, go and tell my wife that I divorced her. And that man, he walks and he says, look, you are divorced by your husband. Does it count? It counts, because he is a wakil. Walil wakil hukmul atil. The ruling that is applicable to the wakil is the ruling that is applicable to the atil. Huh? He's an agent. This is a principal. The principal has sent the agent. Go and divorce my wife. And he goes there. You are divorced. Your husband says so. Said I should tell you. Huh? It counts. So the man said, okay, I'm treating you as a wakila. Eh? You are an agent, telling his wife, you are an agent for me to divorce yourself. So if you feel like divorcing yourself, and the lady says, what? Talaktu. I'm free. I'm free from you. So this, it counts. The Sheikh says, "Wal mukhayyara, mukhayyara mumallaka." They are very close. Only that some scholars differentiate between mukhayyara In the case of Mumallaka, a lot of them will say it is one talak. Huh? It will be said to be one talak. If particularly if the man says it is one, not two. You are free to divorce over just one time. Not talak bayna bayinuna kubra. Exactly, if talak maybe bayna bayin or talak raj'i. Now in the case of Mukhayyara, most scholars say it is ba'il. Some said it is raj'i. And this is based on what Aisha radiallahu anha said, that Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khayyarana Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the choice whether to go or to be with him. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu kul li azwajik in kuntunna تريدنا الحياة الدنيا وزنتها فتعالينا ومتعكنا وصريحكنا صراحا جميلا. This is when the wives of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were asking him what he could not afford. So Messenger of Allah was not happy with the situation. He was not happy with the situation. And he called them. He said, which one do you prefer? Do you prefer to be with me? Let's fight my stage. Or you want what? A dunya. In kuntunna turidna al-hayata al-dunya wa zinataha. Fata'alayna umatirukunna. Let me give you something. As you have read that when a woman is in divorce, it is advisable that the man gives her something. Which is called what? Mata'a. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Famatirunna. على الموسع قدر ولا المقصر قدر ومتاع بالمعروف حقا على المحسنين. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah told him, say to them, فتعالينا ومتعكنا وصاركنا فرحا جميلا. وإن كنتن تردن الله ورسوله والدار الآخرة فإن الله أعد المحسنات منكن أجرا عظيما. The women were asking for what Messenger of Allah could not afford. So it is natural for your wives to ask you, this will not, there is no soup, there is no, do you think this amount that you have given to me will be, it's natural. The women of the past, they ask their husband, but you have to give them da'wah as well, and take it easy. Just as Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them takhir. Do you still want to be with me? Or you want to go? If you want dunya, let me release you. Go and look for dunya. But if you want Allah and His Messenger and the year after, then you have to bear with me. You have to bear with me. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, khayyarana Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Messenger of Allah gave us khayyar. He said, fakhtarnahu. She said, fakhtarnahu. We chose him. We chose him. Since then, they will not ask Messenger of Allah sallam anything that he could not afford. Because they had decided to manage with him, despite the fact that he was not a rich man. Though it's somebody that if he had, his wife would know that he had. But if he didn't have, he will not do more than himself. So since then, they will not disturb him anymore. Messenger of Allah sallam, the first person he called is Aisha. He said, oh Aisha, I want to discuss something with you. He said, wa arju Allah tasta'jiri hatta tasta'amiri abawaj. I want you not to be hasty. Go and seek advice from your parents first. He now narrated what Allah said. She now said, afika asta'amiru abawaya. I'll be asking, consulting my parents concerning you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. He said, Qad ikhtartuka. She said, I've chosen you. Wala tukbir ahada min azwajik. But don't tell another woman. She don't want them to know what she has chosen. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi la ukhbiranna man tas'al minhunna. Any person that acts among them, I will watch. I will tell them, because this is good. So the shahid here is that Aisha radiallahu anha said, فَاخْتَرْنَاهُ, we chose Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, وَلَمْ يَرَهُ طَلَاقًا, and he did not see that as what? Talaq. You know, when they chose Messenger of Allah, that means no talaq. But let's assume that they chose themselves. Huh? They chose themselves. That would mean what? They want to go. Is that talaq or not? Scholars they differ. Some said it is talaq ba'in three times. Huh? No more what? No abdu, no, unless a man marries her. This is said to be the favorite of opinion of Zayd bin Thabit. Some said it's talaq ba'in, and this is the opinion of most scholars. Ba'in bayinat al-sughra, meaning the man will have to do new aqd. So al-mukhayyara al-mumallaka is when a lady is given the right to choose between herself and the man. And if she chooses herself, that means talaq as what? Of course. In the case of mumallaka, they said it is not. If it is one that the man intends by that, it will be seen as what? One. But in the case of mukhayyara, they said that will be seen as what? Talaq ba'in. Madam at the majlis, as long as what they are in the sitting. Not necessarily in the sitting, because Aisha radiallahu anha, Messenger of Allah said, go and think about that and consult your peers. Walau an yunakir al-mumallakata khasatan, it is permissible for him to go against the mumallaka, that is to tell her that it is only one I want you to do, not, that is, I've given you the right to act on my behalf in devoting yourself, but it's one. So you can say it is one I intended by that. Fima فوق الواحدة وليس لها في التخير. Where it is takhir, the woman cannot say and taqdiya illa bi salat. She has to count watch. She has to take it to be three. Huh? We said there is difference of opinion concerning that. ثم لا نكرة له فيها. Then the man cannot go against that. The man cannot go against that. But what most scholars are upon, Umar radiallahu anhu, Ibn Mas'ud and many other scholars, is that if a man says, I've given you the choice to pick between me and yourself, if the woman chooses herself, that is talaq ba'in bayinunatan sughra. So if the man wants to take her back again, there will be new aqdu and new mahr. Is that clear? It's not bayinuna kubra, as the author has said here, in the case of what? Mukhayyara. It's not the Yunatan Kubra. It is the Yunatan Sugra, according to what most scholars are upon. So inshallah, we stop here. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka la umma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.
Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وأصحابه ومن والاه. And question. Now the first question that we have is something Sheikh Al-Munajjid asked of with Manhaj Kelly, put to me that is someone who share the same ideas and say is this correct or not.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Sheikh Sali Al-Munajjid is a scholar that has benefited people tremendously. People worldwide have benefited from his sight. Now, he's a human being. He makes mistakes, just as every one of us makes mistakes. And there is nobody that can say that he knows everything. If he recommends the book of Sayyid Qutb and one or two of his books, and his attention is called to that, that the books that he has recommended, or the man whose works he has recommended, has a lot of viruses, and he changes his position, he adjusts, then in that case we should not be harsh on such a person, because there is nobody that is perfect, that is devoid of errors or mistakes. When I see brothers talking about this, what I conclude is that most people are not well grounded in the issue of Aqidah. When you are well grounded in the issue of Aqidah, you know there are people that you are celebrating and you are all in high esteem, that they are worse than Munajjid. If you can take Munajjid off because he recommends the work of Sayyid Qutb, what is this error in comparison to the errors of Inkaru Uluwullah, negating the Uluw of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or being ta'wil of the Asma wa Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or being tafweed of this, or falling in the Aqidah of the Qadariyya? There are scholars that you owe in IST that they fall in this. And this, they are what? Far, 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 far greater than what that cut of Al-Munajjid. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that we should try to be reasonable. If somebody's attention is called to a manhaj error that he makes, or an Aqidah error that he makes, and he adjusts, do not continue to attack the person. But if he doesn't adjust that manhaj error, then it deserves to be made a deal of out of this place. If he insists on that particular error of Aqidah also, it deserves to be made the tabdi of. But if he adjusts, there is nobody that doesn't have his own errors. Now, some people you may not know, because you have not read the works of people, you may not know that this have so and so error. Maybe what you have read of their books does not contain that particular error. Or maybe you have not listened to much of their lectures. Maybe the lectures that you have listened to does not contain that those errors, and you recommend them. Can somebody now say what? You are recommending Mubtadi'a because he has read that those errors and you have not read those errors. So you talk based on what you know. And that's why you see some great scholars who commend or recommend said code before. Huh? Because they did not read some of his works. Like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmahullah ta'ala once said that Fidil al-Quran of Sayyid Qutb, he has not read it before. How many tafsir books you want to read? So many tafsir books that you don't have time. Huh? The tafsir of Sayyid Qutb is no book of tafsir really. So if Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said he has not read the work or the work of Sayyid Qutb, should you not blame him? Or Sheikh Al-Albani say, for instance, he hasn't read Fidil al-Quran of Sayyid Qutb. There are so many books of tafsir, hundreds of tafsir, that we not have time to read some of these works. Take for instance Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, who died around 726 or 9. Now we are in 1438. How many years? Ibn Hajar, As-Suyuti, Al-Munawi, and many Al-Albani, they came after Ibn Taymiyyah. If Ibn Taymiyyah were to be waking up and they asked him, do you know these scholars? You will say, oh, he doesn't know them. Now he didn't read their books. Does that mean he's not a scholar? Huh? So there are so many books. So when you want to busy yourself with looking at the errors in every book, There's nobody that can do that. You cannot. Even if you want to do it, the time is not yet. So that's why at times you see some people, you owe them in high esteem, that, oh, mashallah, this person has written good works. He has delivered good talk. That is what you have listened to of his good talk. Do you know whether he has some words, some talks that are what, dangerous? Do you know whether he has some books that are what, that are evil? Or in some of his books, he has some poisons in them. But because you have not been able to read all his books, you have not been able to detect those things. So if somebody praises such a person that he is a scholar, you can't hold that person responsible. Unless if he praises that evil that is in the book. We have to take things easy. What matters is you teach people the right akidah. But you want to be running after people, you assess one, so you assess one. You have turned this thing to man, you are center of a sin. It's not like that. You try to preach the truth to people. Huh? That is the most important thing. Teach people the right akidah. Some of those people who have joined this Jabata of a sin, you see somebody who cannot differentiate between Al-Asma or Sifat, cannot differentiate between Qadariya and Jabriya, he will tell you that so-and-so person is a Muqtadiya. And when you sit him down and say, what is Jabriya? He will tell you he doesn't know. What is Qadariya? He doesn't know. What is Ta'wil Sifat? Ta'wil what? And he's making Tabdi. What gives him that audacity to make Tabdi of people? And he does not know what Al-Asma wa Sifat, upon which thing you are making tabdi of people. So after you busy yourself with making tabdi, go and learn Al-Asma wa Sifat very well. Learn Qadar very well. Have the right positions of Ahlul Sunnah. And that's why the book Al-Wasitiyah by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, it's a book that you have to read and read and read and digest. Then you can come out and tell us about what? Tabdi or so. But you have not read books like this. You are talking about Tabdi. This is just like a football club. Huh? So we don't need things like this. So may Allah assist us. So as I've said, Sheikh Munajjid made mistakes in recommending the works of the code in some of his books. But as I add that he changed it in some later editions. So if this is true, then don't bother yourself about this. Because if you want to insist on his matter, there are scholars that you respect more than Munajjid, maybe 100 times, that they fall in things that are worse than what Al-Munajjid fall upon, and they died upon those innovated Aqidah. Wallahu
a'lam. Now, another question here is, what if a slave is pregnant before being bought by the owner? And and the owner now has sexual relations. The new owner now has sexual relations with the lady she was bought. What's the position of the unborn child and the slave? And the second one is, can the child born by the slave to the master inherit the master's property?
Can
the child born? Because
Kanini
is married
to the father of the Master of the Master. Now, alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala Rasulillah. Now, the question should have been a captive, a female captive, or a female slave that is pregnant. Can the new master, or can the master, and the master have sex with her? The new master, can he have sex with her? That should have been the question. Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تطعوا حامل حتى تضع. لا تطعوا حامل حتى تضع. A female slave should not be slept with until she delivers the baby, until the womb is free. وَلَا أَحِلٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَبْرِيَ بِأَيْدٍ. The one that is not pregnant should not be slept with until she does istibra. Istibra is for her to look for one menstruation so that she will confirm that the womb is free. So when a slave girl or a slave is caught, maybe in the war or so, the master, the new master or the master, will not just start having sex with her. Maybe the lady, the husband has slept with her and she's pregnant, you don't know. So you have to do istibra. She will do istibra of one height, one menstruation. And if she's pregnant, it is clear that there is somebody's water inside her. So that water, the womb must be free of it. And that was the Messenger of Allah Islam said that man kana yumin billahi al-yawm al-akhir fala yaski ma'ahu zar'a ghayri. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day should not water the plant of another person. Somebody wanted to do something like that. Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was angry. He said, I have decided to cause him a curse that will enter the grave with him. Huh? So, and that's why I said the question should have been, can one sleep with a pregnant slave? Or can one sleep with a slave girl immediately? No. If she's not pregnant, you have to do istibra of one menstruation. And if she's pregnant, until she delivers the baby, wallahu a'lam. Now the child born by the Ummul Walad, as we have called her, is a child of the man. Is a child of the man, so he will inherit the man. He will inherit the man. How this is clear? Just like the case of Ibrahim. Huh? Ibrahim, the son of the Messenger of Allah. You know the mother? Maria Tiltipiya. She was a slave. And she became what? Ummu Walad. She was the one that delivered Ibrahim. Though Ibrahim did not live more than 18 months or so. So Allah A'lam.
This question has been answered by Ustaz. But I don't know, maybe Ustaz is just answering it just yes, no, because of time. Someone said, you said in your discussion that if one should marry two sisters, that it is haram. But is it halal if one of them dies? Will it be halal? Now, what if in the case whereby one marries a lady and after she dies, is it permissible to marry the mother of the girl? Just mention this one. Can one marry the mother of a lady? The lady is dead now. Is it permissible for you to marry the mother of the lady? And finally,
what's the relationship with the lady? What is the relationship with the lady? Its own relationship with the lady.
Is the wife. Is the wife.
I think this has been explained in the course of the lecture. No, under no circumstance you can marry somebody who marries a girl, do abdu with her, cannot do abdu with the mother, even if he has not slept with the girl. That is clear in the Quran. The one who does act with the mother but has not slept with her can marry the daughter. Is that clear? So this is clear in the Quran. Abdu with the daughter, that's the end. You can't watch. You cannot marry the mother forever. Even if you have not slept with the daughter. Abdu with the mother, you can still do watch. You can do talaq of the mother and watch, marry the daughter. But condition that watch, you have not slept with the mother. If you have slept with the mother, so the daughter is automatically haram. I hope it is clear. So if we have gotten it this way, this question wouldn't have what come up. Allahu Akbar.
This is now. Now one of them died. If I'm looking for his wife, the other one.
Ummu Kulthum and Ruqayyah. use that as a yardstick, so to say. Okay. Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, both of them are daughters of the Messenger of Allah SWT. When one of them died, Uthman married the other. So if it were to be wrong, Messenger of Allah wouldn't have watched, done that. So what is wrong is al-jam'u bayn al-ukhtayn fi waqtin wahid, combining the two sisters at once. That this is what is wrong. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay, one last question from this same person. Is it important, or important you want to say that, is it permissible for a man to marry more than one wife when he is not competent and not capable?
Is it a woman that is talking or a man? Because if it is a woman, the men are not competent. They will never be competent to take a second one. But if it is a man that is talking, it may be out of watch, out of sympathy for the women. If you understand one thing that most people have not taken into consideration, now you have watch. You have responsibility as husband. The one wants to get married, you have to provide accommodation and the likes. You have to feed them to the best of your ability. But marrying two wives, three wives, the way we see it is not the way it is. If you marry a lady now, she's coming with her own risk. The lady that you are getting married to, she's coming with her own risk.
Provision.
She's coming with what Allah provided for her. I said risk, not risk. She's coming with her own provision. So if her own provision meets yours, things may boom. So, and if you look at it very well, somebody has not got married before, he may be poor. Even maybe it may be difficult for him to feed himself. But when he gets married, he'll be achieving some things. He'll buy cars, build house. You know the way you all started now? Some of you are riding big, big jeeps now, which you did not have before. It is when you got married that you are able to. And somebody, when he takes another wife again, the risk become what? The provision becomes a third wife. Wallahi, we have seen cases like that. Somebody once said, I don't want to mention him, he said when he took his first wife, he had so and so. When he took his second one, he had so and so. Whenever he got married, his provision become what? Will become great. But because of what the fear of poverty, and because of the mentality, we are afraid of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا يَعْنِي أَلَّا تَفْتَقِرُوا. This is the best way that you won't be poor. So for us to say it is the marriage that makes people poor, that is wrong. Allah said, وَأَنْتِ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَصَالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِيمَائِكُمْ. Marry for your صالحين, those who are good. Al-ayama, those who do not have wives, those who do not have husbands. وَصَالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِيمَائِكُمْ. إِنْ يَكُونُ إِيش؟ فُقَرَى. If they are poor. إِنْ يَكُونُ فُقَرَى. To give love importantly. Look at that. Allah will do their ignite if they are poor. But we say no. Marriage is what? Is poverty. Just as some people tell you that when you have many children, you become poor. What about somebody who does not have wife and he can't feed himself? For instance, some people, they feel that if you have just, okay, I don't want to have more than three children. Who tell you that if you have just one child, you can train him or her? How do you know? So some family, maybe to be the 10th child or the 8th child, that the whole family watch rely on. I know of somebody who, when the mother had the pregnancy, she was thinking that this is what unwanted pregnancy. The mother wanted to abort the pregnancy because of what people will say at this age of yours. But as I'm speaking to you, the whole family, they rely on this. You'll be the one to do a lot of things for them. So don't let the West think for us. Those who say don't have more than two children, don't have more than so, where did they get that? That why not three? Why not four? In fact, they would have said what? Don't marry at all. They should have said that. So marriage, marrying more than one wife, is not the way we are looking at it. It's what the West has presented to us that is making us a page. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, thank you, ma tabarakum min al-nisa, masna wa thulath wa ruba'a, fa in khiftum alla ta'dilu fawahida. That is justice issue now. Allah will end it, wa zalika adna Allah ta'ulu. So ta'ulu yani tastaqiru. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with the knowledge of the deen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت
أستغفرك حباب لك ولا يخلص حباب